All right. I was standing over there, like I haven't done quizzing in a while, and I was realizing that I was using muscles that I haven't used in a while. I'm standing over there, I'm like, man, I need to get back in quizzing shape, apparently. Who knew that was a thing? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the chance to gather together this morning as your family. Lord, we pray that you would just open our hearts up to what you have for us today. Lord, challenge us. Move us closer to you. In your name we pray. Amen. So imagine for the second that you're going on a hike with your friends. You can pick where. That's up to you. And while you're on this hike, you stumble across some vast and ancient treasure. When I think of treasure, you know, I think of like national treasure, where they found this like huge, gigantic treasure that people have been hunting for years. You know, like just this old treasure. And it was just filled with acres and acres of gold and diamonds and all this different kinds of stuff worth just millions and billions of dollars. So you stumble upon this extremely valuable treasure on your hike. Now, knowing that it's yours for the taking, like nobody's going to come hunt you down if you take part of this treasure, it is obvious that this treasure is yours for the taking. Would you pass it up? Probably not. Probably going to be filling your pockets, filling your backpack, plotting some kind of plan how you're going to come back and get the rest later. Whenever I'm thinking about this part, I thought of this movie. How many of you guys remember the DuckTales movie? Come on, from the 90s? Some people at least have to remember that movie, okay? At the end of the movie, one of the bad guys gets caught in the treasure room, and his pants are like super full of gold coins, and he starts running away, and Scrooge is like, somebody stop those pants! It's really weird, right? But I just think of, you know, like, he was trying to fit as much of the treasure as he could. He didn't want to leave any that he could have taken with him. And so, I want you to get that picture. And if it sounds like this might be a dream come true, then I want you to consider something else. We have access to something that is a treasure more valuable than anything else. Psalm 19:10 calls the word of God much more desirable than gold and sweeter than honey. And it's a treasure that we can go to and we have access to it. Nobody's going to yell at us for taking out of the treasure and kind of gobbling up as much as we can. Every page of the Bible is filled with eternal truth about the universe and wisdom for every aspect of life. And unfortunately, a lot of us leave that treasure of spiritual riches on the shelf. And we don't tap into that resource that we have. That treasure that is all ours to use. This morning we're going to talk about memorizing scripture. Seemed fitting with doing the demo quiz up here this morning. And obviously, scripture memorization has value for those who are doing Bible quizzing. If they don't memorize anything, then they won't be able to do anything. So for them, one of the values of scripture memorization is actually being able to compete in Bible quizzing. But actual Bible quizzers is a small portion of our body of believers. And scripture memorization isn't just for competition. We don't just memorize it so that we can know more than somebody else sitting in the chair next to us. There are so many more reasons to memorize the Word, and we're going to be looking at that today. The first reason that we should spend time memorizing Scripture is that Christ did it, and our calling is to imitate Christ. Throughout his life, if you look at all that red lettering in your New Testament, he quoted Scripture a lot. He knew it. He knew God's Word. It helps that he was also God. But he spent time learning what the Scriptures said. And that's really important. It's clear that he thought of the Scriptures as the ultimate authority in life, as the Word of God, and a way to understand the desires of God. You know, why would we not want to follow his example and spend more time ingraining that Word in us? You know, Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on it day and night, night and day, whichever order it is. Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. It's obvious throughout Scripture that we are called to commit as much of his Word to memory as possible. Colossians 3:16 tells us to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does the word dwell even mean? It means to live in or to make home in. We're supposed to let the words of Christ live in us, make their home in us. And that goes so much further beyond reading over it every once in a while. That's not having it dwell in us. When we commit it to memory, when we store his word in our heart, that is allowing the words of Christ to dwell in us. And that's what we're called to do. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 say this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That's keeping the Scriptures in the forefront. That's putting it in places where you can easily access it, which is not on the shelf. It's committing it to memory. It's keeping it with you. And what easier way to keep it with you? I mean, I like my Bible, but it doesn't fit in my pocket real well to be able to keep the Word with me all the time. So if I want to keep the Word with me, I have to memorize some of it, so that I can access it, so God can bring it to my memory. We have to follow the example of Christ. The verse talked about teaching it to our children. How can we teach it if we don't know it? Then you just be like, here kids, let's read this random verse that I just pointed to. If we know the Scriptures, it's easier to teach it. If they ask questions, it's easier for us to answer them because we've committed his word to our hearts. One instance where Jesus was quoting Scripture is in his temptation in Matthew chapter 4. He's in the desert and the devil is tempting him. And every time a temptation comes forth, he has an answer directly from Scripture that refutes what Satan is trying to do. Ephesians chapter 6 is where the armor of God is talked about. And in all of that armor, only one thing is mentioned as an offensive weapon. It says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Scripture is a powerful weapon. You know, it cuts down deceitful words. It reminds us of God's precious and powerful promises to us. I mean, think about, if you're looking at this armor here, obviously he's thinking in terms of like a Roman, you know, a Roman soldier, because that's when Paul would have been writing this. And so the sword that he is talking about is kind of like this short sword that's double-edged. And no matter which way you're wielding it, it has a blade. It's good for like short little thrusts and things like that. It's kind of funny that in Hebrews chapter 4, it tells us that the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. The sword of the Spirit is a double-edged sword, and it has impact when we wield it, when we use it. The Spirit makes the word effective as we speak it, as we receive it, as we use it how God intended it to be used. It has a penetrating power. And Jesus' use of God's word during his temptation prompts us for another use of it when we're being tempted. It's an offensive weapon that we can use against Satan when he comes at us to tempt us. He can bring scriptures to mind that we have memorized that we can use against Satan. Now, one piece of advice to go along with that is think about the things that you know are the areas where Satan tries to get you. And look for verses that help you in those areas and learn those ones. You know, with Jesus, you know, he says, here, turn these stones into bread. And he has a verse. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It fit where he was being tempted. So if you know your areas of weakness, look for a verse that will help you in that so God can bring it to your mind. I think of like taking a test in school. How many of you have ever been getting ready for a test and you're like, God, please help me on this test? Oh man, help me on this test. But you didn't pay attention in class and you didn't study for the test. You're asking God to put things in your head that were never there. And that's what it's like. When Satan tests us, God can't bring things to mind that we didn't put in there. We have to spend time in the Word, learning it, knowing it, writing it wherever we need to, so that it can be brought to memory when the test comes. Because otherwise, how are you going to pass the test? How are you going to resist the temptation? Because it's not there. Memorizing scripture and meditating on it is a preventative method for avoiding temptation, for resisting temptation. Because when God's word is fresh in your mind, it will be easier for you because you can recall those words. And Jesus wielded the sword of the Spirit and the devil fled. He's giving a great demonstration for the use of God's word as that sword of the Spirit. Psalm 119:11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hiding God's word in our hearts is a deterrent to sin. And that alone should be enough to inspire us to memorize more scripture. Because we face temptation every day, all day. And if we're being given something that is going to help us win that battle, we got to take it. What soldier is going to go into battle and say, no thanks, I don't need my sword today. I'm just going to take all the other stuff and hope I can hang on. It's like Rocky taking a beating without fighting back. Well, we all know you've watched those movies going, come on, hit him back. That's what we can do here. We have a weapon. Let's use it. When we know God's word and we obey it, we're able to experience God at a deeper level. We experience the freedom that comes through obedience because we know what he wants from us. We know his will. We know the design that he has laid out for our lives because we have his word in our hearts. Romans 12:2 tells us that when we renew our minds and are transformed, we're going to be able to discern what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I don't know about you, but how many times have I asked, man, Lord, what is your will? I want to know what your plan is. He says right there, if you renew your minds, your life is transformed, then you can know my will. Who doesn't want to know that? And when we're letting his word dwell in us, to make its home in us, and we're imitating Christ, we're living out obedience, our relationship with him grows. And then we're getting to know him and his plans for our lives and the design that he has for us. Memorizing scripture does that renewing and transforming. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have trouble remembering to do things unless I write it down. So like I make a lot of lists. And Amanda's laughing. Sometimes even if I write it down, I still forget to do it. But it helps me to write it down so that I remember to do it. And God knows that we can't remember to keep all of his commands all of the time. But guess what? He did the hard part for us. He already wrote it down. We just have to spend time in it, learning it, looking at it, memorizing it, so that we know what he wants us to do, so that we can remember the things that he's asking us to do. You have a to-do list in your book all the time, but we always forget to do the stuff that it says because we don't know it that well. We need to learn it better so that we can live in obedience to what God is calling us to do, so that he can renew our minds and he can transform our lives as we live out the things that he is calling us to do. As we keep looking at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, now, keeping scripture at the forefront of our minds, whatever that looks like from that other verse, it was like put it in all these different places. Whatever it requires for you to keep scripture at the forefront of your mind, you know, that will help us receive that transformation from God. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We talked about how it helps us resist temptation. We talked about how it helps us live in obedience. But refusing to conform to this world goes a lot deeper than just behavior and customs. It has to go into transforming the way that we think. And when we fill our minds with the words of God, the way that we think will be transformed. Because we're replacing human thoughts with godly thoughts. And that's one of the things we're called to do. We experience a complete change from the inside out when we start to memorize and spend time in the Word. Much of the work is done by the Holy Spirit, but the tool is the Word of God. He transforms our lives by spending time in the Word of God. When our minds are transformed and we're becoming more like Christ, we will know what He wants. We will know what to do with it. We will want to do it. Because we're spending time in His Word. Now, so far the benefits / reasons have all been more personal. Like, for me, for each of you. They're individual things. They're about us. But some of the benefits to memorizing Scripture aren't about us and our personal walk with God. But memorizing Scripture also helps us both encourage other believers and share the gospel with non-believers. One of Scripture's stated purposes in Romans 15:4 is to encourage and give us hope. And for this reason, Paul urges us in 1 Thessalonians 4:18 to be ready to encourage other believers with the truth. Be ready to encourage other believers with the truth. When we have verses and passages ready, we can more easily build up other believers in the truth. When somebody is struggling with something, it helps when we know more Scripture because we can just bring verses to them and encourage them and build them up and help them through what they're going through. And that's part of what we're called to do. Our scriptural knowledge affects our attitude toward the present and the future. Because when we know more about who God is, we buy in and believe in His promises and the things that He says are going to happen, which makes it easier to encourage others. It's really hard to encourage somebody else if you're not feeling very encouraged yourself. It's hard to pass on something you're not feeling yourself. And we get our encouragement and our hope from God and from His Word. We can use the Scriptures to remind people exactly what it is that our hope is in. We can show them all the different people in the Bible who God helped overcome enormous obstacles. You know, we can show them what God says about eternity and what He offers them. When we're encouraged, we're able to encourage others. When we know Scripture better, we're able to encourage others. The other side of this is being able to share what we believe. We're urged in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be ready to give an account, a defense for your hope in Christ. To always be ready. We should memorize Scripture so that we have it ready to share when people ask questions. If we are doing what we are supposed to be doing, if we're following God, if we're living in obedience, if we're being transformed, if we're imitating Christ, we are going to look different and people will ask questions. And if you don't know the Word, what are you going to tell them when they ask you questions? What is your hope in? Why are you a follower of Christ? And what better way to answer than with God's Word instead of our own? It's going to be a lot more impactful if we're using the words of God, the promises of God. We don't need to be apologists or theologians, but just know what you believe and why you believe it. Make the Bible your supreme treasure. you have full access to the greatest treasure that is possible. Access it. Don't just leave it, oh, I know it's there. It's there when I need it. Put it in here for when you need it. Put it in here for when you need it. Fill your pockets and your backpack, and like the guy in DuckTales, fill your pants. Stock up on as much of God's treasure that He has to offer you as you possibly can. There are so many benefits to it. It can change so much. It's a great tool for resisting temptation. Helps us to live in obedience. Helps us to be more like Christ. Helps us to encourage others. Helps us to share the gospel. There's just so many benefits that we didn't even talk about today. We don't have time to talk about all the benefits of learning the scriptures. And so my challenge for you is to start making a habit of memorizing scriptures as part of your walk with God. Whether it's just a few verses, or it's longer passages, or whole chapters, or whole books, tackle what you can. Start small and let it grow. But I couldn't help but think of 2 Timothy 3:16 that says that all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. Fill your mind, fill your heart and your life with the words that were breathed directly from the mouth of God. What better thing could you possibly fill yourself with than the words of God? You're probably thinking, I don't know where to start. But we all have favorite passages. Just go to it and start there. Taking some of the context around your favorite verse. Because chances are you already know your favorite, well, your life verse, your favorite verse, whatever you want to call it. You probably already know that one. Just work around it. Add some context to it. Or go with what we were talking about earlier of picking the verses that go along with your areas of weakness. It's a good strong place to start with verses that you can use to help you in temptation. You got to start somewhere. Don't look at it and go, that's just too overwhelming, I can't do it. Start somewhere. And I just hope that you can take hold of this challenge, whether it's for Bible quizzing or just for your everyday life. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for access to your word, the words that you breathed and inspired yourself. Lord, help us to utilize the gift that you've given us of your word. Help us not to just sit it on a shelf, but fill our minds and our hearts and our lives with your powerful words of promises and wisdom and love and forgiveness. Lord, encourage us to fill up on you. In your name we pray. Amen.